The honorary president of Reform UK, Nigel Farage, has challenged Rishi Sunak to a live TV debate on immigration. This, as he calls this small boats crisis, a national security emergency. Nigel Farage joins me now. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Farage. Is this, in reality, in your view, the immigration election? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I do. I think the issue of the boats crossing the English Channel, the issue that I raised on my own 4 years ago when I warned everybody that unless we acted, vast numbers would come. I think that's a big issue. But I think even deeper than that, the legal immigration issue. I mean, can you believe that a political party that promised net migration of tens of thousands a year in successive manifestos, and then a Brexit government, I mean, elected to reduce the numbers coming into Britain, has allowed for two consecutive years 1.2 million people to settle. And so, yes, I don't think we can talk about housing. I don't think we can talk about schools. I don't think we can talk about the NHS or anything, even infrastructure, unless we talk about the exploding population that's been caused by, firstly, a Labour Party that opened the doors and a Conservative Party that accelerated it. So, yes, I think it is the number one issue.
The Prime Minister would point to the fact that year on year, for the figures of last year, they were down on the preceding year. He would argue that, and if he gets his Rwanda plan off the ground, that is the sort of issues or the sort of factors that would get the numbers in check.
Well, first things first, the previous year's figures came in at 606,000 until they were revised to 745,000. This year's have come in at 685,000, so by the time they're revised, I'll bet you they're even higher than the year before. Okay. And even if they were down, but Nick, you know, from the late 40s to the year 2000, net migration was 30,000 a year. We're now talking 750,000. I mean, the numbers are incomprehensible. They're so big. And when it comes to Rwanda, well, I'm here in Dover. Keir Starmer has nothing to say. Literally nothing to say. We'll smash the gangs. Well, how many times on your show have you heard ministers say we're going to smash the drugs gangs? And how much success has that brought in the United Kingdom? The point is, if you're a criminal trafficking gang in Calais, you can make 2 to 3 million euros a week at the height of summer. You could put every one of them now in prison, more would volunteer to come forward, the rewards are so high. And as for Rishi Sunak, well, I think the reason he called the early election is he'd made the big promise that planes would go to Rwanda in July. He realised they wouldn't. He feared that would lead to a big increase in support for Reform UK. No, let me make this clear to you. No planes are going to Rwanda with those that don't want to go. It isn't going to happen. And why? Because there is a court in Strasbourg that will say no to it. And this is the level of dishonesty of this debate. And look, we may choose to stay part of the ECHR, just as we could have chosen to stay part of the European Union. But you cannot stay part of that court and have control over those coming into your country. And I believe, as Brexit Britain, we should not be beholden to a foreign court.
Now, a lot of people would say that you mentioned Brexit, you advocated for Brexit, you were a prominent campaigner for Brexit, and they would point to the fact, the economic record of this country since Brexit, and say, why would we listen to Nigel Farage about anything?
Well, because our economic record, though dismal compared to America, is much better than most of the rest of Europe, including France and Germany.
Only recently, so, Nigel Farage, we've suffered in the immediate aftermath of Brexiting, didn't we?
Not really. I mean, our export figures actually are surprisingly good. The real problem with our economy is low productivity and low growth. And isn't it interesting? An era of mass inward foreign labour migration has lowered our productivity. So I point the finger far more in that direction.
But then also there's the problems of industry trying to get in and out of Europe. And right across the board, they talk about extraordinary amounts of red tape that are now needed to just get trucks in and out of Dover and into Calais.
Yeah, and some of that is our own fault. Some of that is our own fault. And I sort of almost feel at times our own authorities and civil service almost would rather inflict sort of self-inflicted wounds on us than try and make Brexit work smoothly.
Let's talk about some other matters as regards Reform UK. You've opted not to stand. Some would say, why should the Prime Minister debate someone who's not even prepared to put their name on a ticket for this year's election?
You, Nick Ferrari, may remember in the year 2014 that on your show, the Deputy Prime Minister, one Nicholas Clegg, challenged me to a public debate about Britain's future in the European Union. Do you remember?
I remember it well.
Do you remember?
I remember it well.
So why did Clegg challenge me? Because I was seen to be the voice that was advocating leaving the European Union. Nobody has a voice on the English Channel and a small boat as big as me in this country. I'm the man that predicted it from the very start. I'm the man that says he's got the solutions. I believe the Prime Minister is being dishonest with the great British public. So if Keir Starmer won't debate him, and after all, he's offered Keir Starmer six debates, well, I tell you what, Rishi, just give me one with you on immigration.
You're speaking today with the slogan, I understand, Rishi can't stop the boats. How would Nigel Farage and Reform stop the boats?
Point one, you have to say and mean it that nobody that comes into this country of our small dinghy through a criminal trafficking gang will ever, ever, under whatever circumstances, be given permanent leave to remain. And secondly, you have to recognise that unless you cut the Gordian knot of membership of the European Court of Human Rights, you will never be free to make those decisions. You see, if you go back to the last Labour government, Nick, I mean, we were deporting 40, 45,000 illegal immigrants every year. Now, because of the activism of that court and its increased role, we simply can't do that.
How would people seeking to escape persecution, whatever it might be for their political views, their sexuality, how would they get to the UK?
Well, I don't think these aggressive young men that cross the English Channel are escaping persecution. In fact, very interesting, Donald Tusk, who is, of course, the Prime Minister of Poland, and an EU lovey, he said yesterday that he regards the migrants crossing the Mediterranean now to be a national security crisis for Poland. I think we need to declare a national security emergency, particularly as many of those that come are coming from the Middle East and have been increasingly radicalised since the events of October the 7th and Gaza.
How do you know they're being radicalised, Mr. Farage?
Well, I just see snapshots of it on the streets of London and elsewhere in our country. I see people wearing Hamas on the back of football shirts, infatada being screamed in the streets of London, Jews at British universities virtually being forced into hiding. I mean, these are things we never thought we'd see in our lifetimes.
Are these people against all British values?
Well, this is where my comments got very badly misquoted at the weekend.
Go ahead.
There are millions of Muslim men and women and children living in Britain who are getting on with their lives and doing well and living as part of British society. The problem, and this is what I'm being demonised for, the problem is a growing number of young British Muslims subscribing to attitudes and ideas that are anti-British in every way. I'll give you an example. You know, 23% in that recent poll of young British Muslims support the concept of jihad. Now, that isn't very British, is it? So the argument I'm making is that Labour and Conservative won't debate this. Why? Because they caused it. It was Labour that opened the door to mass immigration, the Conservatives that accelerated it. And we need to have a conversation about this. And unless we stop mass immigration, we will see more and more of segregated communities living in our country. And that is unhealthy, it's bad, and it's wrong.
Where do you see that segregation?
In the cities, mostly. And I think you saw it in the local elections. You saw councillors being elected standing up with raised fists screaming Allahu Akbar. We saw in other areas people pointing at cameras saying we're coming to get you. Sectarian politics, voting along religious lines. Oh, and by the way, women excluded. No women. Have a look at all the photographs. Have a look at Angela Rayner yesterday, where she was begging Muslim constituents to vote for her. Not a single woman in the room. Some of these people have different values. And that is not decrying the religion of Islam or anything else. It's pointing out a specific and very, very real problem that everybody else wants to run away from.
To those who would say, why are you so concerned? You've said the US election is far more important than the UK one.
No. What I said was the UK election is very important. But in terms of global peace and security, who becomes president of America is vital, and it's vital for us as well. They're two separate things.
How confident are you that President Trump could bring about peace?
Well, I think his record as president was astonishing. And think about the Abraham Accords. Think about Israel a series of deals with Arab states of peace, cooperation, trade and mutuality. And Saudi Arabia were about to join that existing package. And that is why Hamas launched the attacks they did on the 7th of October, because they fear that if Trump gets back into the White House, there'll be more peace breaking.
Last minute or so together, earlier in the show, I was joined by the Work and Pensions Secretary, Conservative MP Mel Stride. And I asked him about Reform UK in the light of the case of Tory MP Lucy Allen, who's stepping down and advising everyone in her constituency to vote for reform. Mel Stride said...
I've got a very simple message around reform, and that is if you vote for reform, you're voting for Keir Starmer to walk through the doors of Number 10. Reform cannot, under our electoral system, it's almost inconceivable they'll win a single seat in these elections. But what they can do, of course, is draw support which would otherwise go to the Conservative Party. They will simply be helping Labour walk through the door of Number 10 Downing Street by voting reform.
Battling with an aircraft overhead. Nigel Farage, a response, if you would.
The election's over. Labour have won. It's a foregone conclusion. That's done. It's over. The question is, who is going to provide opposition? And the Conservative Party will be in opposition, but they won't be the opposition. They hate each other. They're split down the middle. And what we need is a voice in there of genuine opposition and alternative. The Conservatives can't provide that reform. If they win seats in Parliament, can.
Well, that's, lastly, surely that's your voice, Nigel Farage, and you must have seen the reports that I've seen, that there are senior members of the Conservative Party, indeed one very senior former member of the Conservative Party, who says you're the future for the Tories, Nigel Farage.
Well, I don't know about that, but all I can say is that if Rishi Sunak and others thought me not standing in a seat meant they'd get a free ride in the election, they're quite wrong, which is why I'm here in Dover today. I'll be travelling around the country for the rest of the next nearly 6 weeks. And I think, you know, my record, Nick, and you know this well, I've been a very effective campaigner on very important issues without sitting inside the House of Commons.
But never got over the line. Why is it you never got over the line, do you imagine?
Well, only really tried once. And
you've stood in a number of constituency elections.
Oh, yeah. But UKIP was a pressure group. UKIP was a pressure group that used elections to push its message. I mean, saving deposits was a blooming miracle when we were at UKIP in the early days. Right. I had one serious go, and that was in a constituency just a few miles from where I am now in Thanet South. And do you know what happened? The Conservatives won, and the agent got a 9-month prison sentence for gross overspending and breaking of election rules. So the one time I did have a serious go, they cheated. There you are.